Well, as we mentioned, there is a sideline meeting at the UN this week. President Obama and Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko will meet. The agenda will likely focus on how to deal with Ukraine's ongoing low-level civil war involving eastern separatists and, of course, Russia. Now, Russia has continued to build up its military presence in the region since it annexed Crimea in 2014. Thousands have died in that war since. Just this morning, the separatist leader in Ukraine announced his forces would begin a ceasefire Wednesday at midnight. But Russian President Vladimir Putin is staying away from the UN this week. He and President Obama did discuss Ukraine at the G20 summit earlier this month. That was described with that diplomatic euphemism as constructive. William Courtney is former U.S. ambassador to Kazakhstan and Georgia, an adjunct senior fellow now at the nonpartisan nonprofit RAND Corporation. Welcome, Ambassador.
Hello, Todd.
The practical agenda here between Barack Obama and Petro Poroshenko at the UN, what's on their immediate list?
There are two main issues in the relationship. The first and most important from a diplomatic perspective is trying to find a resolution to the conflict in eastern Ukraine. That's a conflict in which Russia launched on its own. There was no civil war or civil unrest there before Russia sent in its own rebels, if you will, and tried to organize protests. The Russian rebels, supported by Russian forces, substantial Russian forces on both sides of the border, control parts of two oblasts or regions in eastern Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk. That conflict for Russia has gone sour. 10,000 people have died. A lot of international attention has been focused on it, and the West has levied important economic sanctions on Russia. So by comparison with Crimea, which Russia took over bloodlessly, eastern Ukraine has turned out poorly for Russia.
And President Obama faced a lot of criticism over the last year or more from both parties, many of his allies who wanted to send weapons and arm the Ukrainian government in this conflict. He has resisted doing it. In retrospect, was that the right call, or should the United States still consider sending arms to the Ukrainian government as they fight this low-level war?
In defense of the policy of the Obama administration, it has provided substantial assistance, over $600 million worth of assistance, and of that, over $250 million has been military aid. That's been primarily training and the provision of non-lethal equipment, everything from combat gear, if you will, just basic combat gear, to counter-mortar radars, night vision goggles, and things like that. That's been a big help to Ukraine. In retrospect, it would have been helpful to have provided defensive weaponry, in particular anti-armor weapons. The Ukrainians asked for something called the Javelin, which is a sophisticated anti-armor weapon that's capable against the most advanced Russian tanks. That would have increased the deterrent power of Ukraine's forces and caused Russia to think twice about escalating the conflict. But if Russia were to escalate again, then there would be stronger pressures to provide that defensive lethal weaponry to Ukraine.
So you've already stipulated that so much of this depends on Russia pulling out of eastern Ukraine. Does Russia have any incentive now to do what you're describing? Is there any incentive that we can provide them to get them to pull out of eastern Ukraine?
A major incentive is that Russia is now more isolated from the West than it's ever been since it became independent a quarter century ago. A second issue is that the Western economic sanctions have had some significant impact on the economy. Not as important as the oil price drop has had. That's been much greater on the economy. But in addition to the direct impact of the sanctions, the fact that Russia is engaged in this aggression in eastern Ukraine has raised overall political risks in Russia, and that's deterred foreign investors. Russia needs a lot of foreign investment and technology to modernize its economy. So there are significant incentives. But for Russia to pull out of eastern Ukraine would involve a certain loss of faith. Russia has made some concessions in the past, for example, canceling a gas pipeline to Turkey when it became clear that that was not going to be viable. But there's no sign at the moment that Russia is ready to pull out of eastern Ukraine. There's no sign whatsoever it will pull out of Crimea, and the West is not really giving Crimea priority, if you will, on diplomacy.
William Courtney, former U.S. ambassador to Kazakhstan and Georgia, now adjunct senior fellow at the RAND Corporation. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.